grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the epistle just read. Christians are strange people in the world. On June 17, 2015, a young man came into a Bible study at a church in Charleston, South Carolina. The rest of the group welcomed him, even though they didn't know him, and even though he was the only fair-skinned person among them. After welcoming him and discussing scripture with him, the young man, Dylan Roof, took advantage of that group and opened fire on them while they had their heads bowed and their eyes closed in prayer. Later, at his arraignment, several relatives of the victims asked to speak. They shared their obvious pain and the hurt that Roof had caused. Nonetheless, they told the man who had killed their relatives, "I forgive you," and that they were praying for God to be merciful to him. On the morning of October 2, 2006, another troubled man by the name of Charlie Roberts entered the West Nickel Mines Amish School. He barricaded himself inside the school and executed five girls, ages 7 to 13. In this case, the shooter took his own life, so there was no one to execute justice upon. In the aftermath, the parents from the Amish community publicly forgave the man who had taken their children from them. At the shooter's funeral, the community came together to embrace the parents of the shooter. And Terry and Chuck Roberts, his parents, were first approached by the parents of one family that had actually lost two daughters in the shooting, and they forgave their Charlie. In a world that thirsts for justice and selfish ambition and power, Christians stand apart. The Holy Apostle Paul writes about this alien quality of Christians in the epistle lesson. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Psychologists and sociologists spend their whole lives studying the factors that lead to why people are the way they are, whether it's their family of origin or the culture that they live in. But Christians are a different sort of topic because they're aliens. They're aliens because it doesn't matter what kind of family they come from, and it doesn't matter what culture they find themselves in. They have these qualities described by St. Paul. But how do Christians become so strange if it isn't a matter of upbringing or cultural conditioning? It goes back to one little word in last week's epistle lesson. Therefore. Therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Therefore encompasses all that came before it in the epistle to the Romans. The righteousness of God has appeared, condemning the whole world of sin, exposing the judgment that all have fallen short of the glory of God, but that they are justified by his grace as a gift in Christ Jesus. This gift comes to us according to God's everlasting promise, made to Abraham and to all his children, that God promised salvation and secured it, and that it doesn't rest on our works or our decisions or what we think of Jesus in our hearts. And that God did this without anyone asking, that he even did this, giving his son into death to accomplish the salvation of the world while we were still his enemies. And God would have done it even if not one single person believed. Yet for those who do believe, they rest in the peace that comes from God. They have comfort even as they continue to struggle with sin and unbelief and weak faith. And because of the peace that they have been given, they also extend that peace to others. Therefore, because God has shown what true love is, his people also love. Therefore, because God has turned the evil of the crucifixion into the world's good, his people are heirs of that mighty act. And therefore, because Jesus endured the cross in hope of what it would bring, in the hope of our salvation, those who follow him are also empowered to bear all things as they take up their cross and follow him daily. And therefore, as Jesus blessed his crucifiers and prayed for their forgiveness, we who are baptized into his crucifixion and death bless our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. The members of Christ's body sing in the hymn, "I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home." And it's true. Christians are strangers in this world, not only because they don't behave like other people, but because they belong to another place. They belong to a different place than this world as we know it. So when the world and our own flesh are bent on vengeance, justice, and wrath, Christians are for peace and forgiveness. In a culture that says it's all about me, Christians are generous and count other people's needs more important than their own. Therefore, because you have received this different identity, this different origin, you think of yourself and you think of others in God's light. Never be wise in your own sight. That reflects your humility at the thought that you have nothing to boast of before God. Not college degrees, not experience, not a pious life, and not pure doctrine. God doesn't have any favorites. He doesn't make distinction. So, of course, how could you set yourself up as being better than another person? This also means that you're not afraid to be wrong, to admit your mistakes, to admit your part in conflicts and making them worse. Let God be the only one who is true and right all the time. As for you or as for me, not so much. God, therefore, also changes how we treat those who have wronged us, not by minimizing the injustice or by minimizing the damage that was caused by another person's actions, and not even by the other party admitting that they were wrong. It changes how we respond to those wrongs. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Vengeance comes in many forms these days, besides physical. They used to say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, the words that have been uttered have proven that childhood rhyme false. In person and online, words cut people down. They make them small and insignificant and worthless in our sight. Besides condemning this firmly with the Eighth Commandment, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor," God has gone farther than that. By making peace with his enemies, God has undercut the reason that we have to gossip and speak evil of other people. He has made us different by making us people of peace, people of forgiveness. And just as that's true individually with the people who insult us on the street, it's also true for us as a congregation. Over the past few years, there have been a lot of hurts, a lot of betrayals of trust, slander, and broken promises. There's no sugarcoating it and covering over the wrongs that have been committed. Some are public and some are not. But instead, there is the blood of Christ, the sacrifice which was offered and has the power behind the words that God speaks. "I forgive you. I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Those words are true, even if the hearer doesn't believe it. And just like the parents and relatives of mass shootings, who have every right to be angry and cry for justice, who suffered much because of another person's actions, we who are baptized into Christ, into his cross, and into his resurrection, can say to those individuals who have wronged us and wronged our congregation, "I forgive you. We forgive you." It's this forgiveness that makes us strangers and aliens in this world. But it's also what makes us heirs of eternal life. The mark of us being a Christian congregation isn't found in the externals of who's in leadership or worship style or how many are at our congregation versus another. The mark of us being a Christian congregation is that we sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. We love even our enemies, even if they never repent, even if they are totally convinced that they are justified in what they did. We forgive. And not with a subtle wish that burning coals would somehow hurt them, but that God would keep them and us in repentance and the true faith, even unto life everlasting. So let that forgiveness be what makes Bethlehem Lutheran Church a Christian church. And let that forgiveness be yours in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.